I appreciate the efforts on the flag. The Lord spoke to me, and I think I related this to you this morning, said, take a flag to Israel. Well, we'd sent a flag to Mr. Reagan's, and strangely enough, the thing that took place this morning had to do with Roosevelt. And you that are perceptive, you that are spiritual, you see spiritual things. He is spiritual, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man, because he's justified by the blood and grace of God. But I was watching it this morning. It had to do with Roosevelt and the little White House when we was down there, and what we said about Reagan. Jimmy and Reagan was one. In their administration, Reagan had to call for Jimmy to help him. And, of course, you remember Jimmy gave his speech the first time down at Little White House. And then on the second time that he was going to give it, we was down there. The man told him when they called for Jimmy to give his second speech down there for the second run, or the second time, then they said another Georgia boy has beat you to it. And forget the terms they use. I think we got it on tape here, something of what they said. But anyway, the man sent me word, said, go ahead and give the inauguration speech. Said, I told him you beat him to it. So they're on the same porch in the same place, them not knowing what was happening. Sure enough, something great and mighty was taking place. It had to do with Roosevelt, and of course this morning, Brother Franklin Taylor got up and sang the One Little Candle. And of course, Brother Franklin, when you say Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you're still talking about Franklin, which means free man. And when you sing the One Little Candle, it goes back to Eleanor Roosevelt, who made the statement, I'd rather light one little candle. And it was a great thing that was taking place today. Had to do with a great thing. And tonight, here it is again. A great thing taking place. Such a great and a mighty thing taking place. Even the Cinco petroleum product that's involved in it. Brother Lynn tonight signed his contract, and I trust you did get your contract, did you, brother? He got his contract tonight. For his investment. And he has just paid for, and he's got his contract signed and sealed. That's the first and only one right now. Which has to do with a great thing, because the first contract we kept ourselves because it was sealed over and it got a little bit wrinkled. And we can straighten it out with a heat lamp. But for some reason, God apparently wanted us to retain that one thing. The last time we stretched out a flag up here, I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I'm standing just like I am now, and Brother Ben Gahaley was on one side, and Brother Grady Pike was on the other side. And we stretched out the flag of Little Bethlehem. And then there's a flag that went up to Reagan's. And now, here's another flag that I want Joseph and Daniel to stretch out for you. Joe, I want you to stand and take this and stretch it out. I want you to see it. This is beautiful. It's a work. It's just a masterpiece. That's all there is to it. They're doing such beautiful work. As a matter of fact, the only thing I'm questioning so far, I was of the opinion that we sewed the lettering on the flag that went to Mr. Reagan's. Am I correct or wrong? It was painted on. Okay. Oh, I see. So then this is, of course, there's just one side finished. Not quite finished. Is that correct? Okay. Now, this is beautiful. The painted work is beautiful. And the sewing work is just superb. That's the only way I know to say it. Now, they're going to stretch it out here. And don't drag it on the floor. They'll hold it up. This flag goes to Israel. Now, we'll probably be sending this flag to Mr. Bagans, but it definitely goes to Israel. And can you hold it the right side up here? Okay, turn it around. Okay, Bubba Joe. Danny? Yeah, we might be able to get one tomorrow before they shrink wrap it. That's right. Yeah, there's a good possibility that tomorrow we may be able to get a picture of it before they shrink wrap it. And in the event that we do, they'll have it all finished up then to where we can retain a picture of it in its entirety. Because I'm sure hoping it will have a picture of it in its entirety. Okay, now they're through their pictures, taken, folded up real neat, Danny. Now, they're going to fold it up real neat here and they're going to hand it back to me. That's good. You get one of them folding it up. That's good. Like I said today, when you set your flag on the hill, then that means that you've taken the country. So then, this beautiful flag, and such beautiful needlework, it's just superb. This beautiful flag being like it is, and we intend to present it to Mr. Bagan, or that is to the Israelite people in that area. And you can imagine when we do that, anything can happen. Anything. You can believe that anything can happen. Because in the first place, at this point, they definitely do not believe that Jesus is their Messiah. But we're going to try to help convince them that he is. They do not believe that he is their Messiah. And it is something that, as I said this morning, the Lord Jesus, sown in weakness, raised in power. He went away, that is, leaving his body to come back and pick it up. Now, when he went away, he came back and picked his body up within the 3-day period, that he would not see corruption. Whereas one day with God is as 1,000 years, the Bible tells us. So then he's been gone since Calvary, and 2,000 years has rolled around. Now, on the 3rd day, which is the millennium, on the 3rd day, the Bible teaches that it has to do with the Lord Jesus, and that he is to come forth, pick up that body of believers or Jewish people that he was born in the midst of, and that he was born as a Jew to that extent. And he goes back and he picks them up just before they see corruption. So then he's entering back into the veil to pick them up, and this time to glorify them, which means that the Christ that we speak of here, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the kingdoms of this world, he, that Jesus Christ, that's written across our flag, is veiled within these Hebrew writings, coming back within the veil to get to them. And I said when they spoke it the day of Pentecost, they said, we do hear him in our own language wherein we were born. This, of course, has a great divine significance. I read this to you again from Revelation 11 and 12. I've read this again and again. But in that we're going over yonder, and this is the flag here that is going to Israel. I'll read this to you again. Revelation 10. Let's get Revelation 10 first. And I'll just talk with you a few minutes and let you go. I don't want you to forget me now. As we go forth, I want you to pray for me. Some of you have cared enough that you've made it your business to bless us on our journey and make sure. Now, I need your prayers. In this, Revelation 10, 11, and 12. in this, it has a great, great meaning. And in this trip, there's a great meaning. We have been blessed, as you very well know, during the time that God has provided our finance. He has also provided numbers of other things. One thing he has provided is a professional camera. That professional camera with quite a number of additives. And to have good measure, the Lord worked it out to where we could have the second camera. So they brought in another professional camera, which gives our little movie operation, or as the world refers to it, as an industry. Gives us about near $50,000 worth of movie equipment. Whereas with the video, we probably got that much or more. This is a different operation altogether. This is a good thing for the field operation. Can be reproduced in films to the extent that we can send them abroad to the different places. They've asked for some of our films in foreign places or whatever. And a local, to the best of my knowledge. And this helps us to be able to take care of it locally and in the foreign field. It gives us another leg, as we say, for our world outreach. And, of course, we're real grateful. This camera also makes up for the lack of the other, in that this other camera, it is a camera that is excellent for interviewing and close-up shots. And having a lens, it's about $9,000 lens. I think the body of the camera alone is better than $6,000. I was looking at it in the book last night, the kind that we have. And this lens on the last camera, though the camera is almost identical, this lens on the last camera is an extensive lens in the sense that it is for distance. So that gives it to us just right. And that causes us to be able to use them together like we do our video cameras in the sense that we can get action shots. We also have a couple of nice tripods with it, cases and whatever, additives. These little tripods have, they're fixed to where they have levelers on them. And you can just fix it. It's a fluid action where you can't turn the camera too fast and mess things up. They're just excellent. So then God has been exceptionally good to us, making our cup to run over. This He's done in every way, and I thank God for it. We're going to try to use those to the best of our ability, just like all the rest of the stuff, for the goodness of God, and to win souls with. Everything that we're attempting to do it for Christ. And I hope that before we get away from here, that we can get at least another $300 worth of films. We only have 12 rolls of films, and that's not very much. It's all in color. But that's not very much because 12 rolls of film, those films only last about 10 to 12 minutes apiece. Whereas it costs us about $50 a piece, and it costs us about $40 to develop them after we buy them. If they are done right, these cameras are strictly news cameras, professional cameras, and if they're done right, when they come back, you'll have a professional movie with sound and everything. It'll be fixed to where it will really be enjoyable. It'll be the enlarged size that's shown on the screen, and we're planning to have a place, if the Lord tarries, to where we can have regular movies. And, of course, we can take it from a film chain drive, convert it to video, and show it right on the little TV operation that we've got here. All right, now let's talk about the Bible just a little bit. The Bible is the Word of God in written form. And we talk about it because it's the wonderful Word of God. It's the only words of life that there is. And we talk about it for that reason. And all these other things we talk about is for winning souls. There are tools to win souls with, as we would use the terms. And this, of course, helps us to write it, put it in a book, and send it to the churches. When it comes to the printing, the machinery and whatever. But you pray for us as we try to read just a little bit tonight. Chapter 10, the first verse. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. All right, now, notice in the seventh verse, but in the days of the voice, it says here, when the seventh angel begins to sound, that the mystery of God should be finished. Now the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. It speaks of a mystery of iniquity. It speaks of the mystery of the faith. It speaks of the great mysterious acts of God, the mystery of God. It says, in the days of the voice. Now, you know, I'm without honor to my wife, I'm without honor to my children, I'm without honor to my countrymen. As a minister of God, I'm without honor. The Bible said a prophet's never without honor, save in his own country and among his own household. But now, when I go into the foreign places, I'm not without honor. It's altogether different then. Altogether different. You can't realize how astoundingly different it is. But here, it's the same way in what we're reading. It says in the days of the voice, mysteries, many, many mysteries. In the days of the voice, it says when he begins to sound, then the mystery, singular, not plural, the mystery shall be finished. The Bible teaches that the things of God have an end. Now I want you to notice this now. In the 10th chapter of the 7th verse, and I've explained carefully to you that the original rendering is that the secret of God should be finished. I've explained how the Bible says, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It says, in the days of the voice. Now when we was over yonder in Mississippi, there was given unto us a truck. Really the truck wasn't given unto us. And that reminds me, I see this little white house right here by us in this picture. The truck wasn't given to us. It was parked on our lot where we had our big white tent. It was parked there for personal purposes. And I said that it had to do with another thing, and the individual didn't intend that. So it worked out that the thing that I spoke of, it came to pass, and the truck was placed over here on our properties and became ours. That's why the truck was parked there to start with. The individual, as we said, would do a certain thing. He'd done a certain thing, and a certain thing happened to him. Now, I understand now that the individual is smoking, drinking, cursing, and all of the things. Though the individual had just come off of about a 20 or 21 day fast, forget how many days of fasting, had been on a couple of days of fasting. But nevertheless, when a man thinks more highly of himself than he ought to, he's in trouble. You say, I wholeheartedly agree, Brother Pike, that you shouldn't do that. But see, I'm talking to you. The Lord talks to me, and I'm talking to you. You're so ready to agree with me because I know your thoughts. But nevertheless, it would be real good if you think about the preacher and God talking to you. Now, so then, the man done what he wanted to do. He said he was going back to his heaven. He did. He went back without realizing it into the wilderness with the guns and with the honey and also in the wilderness of his mind. Thinking more highly of himself than he ought to, not seeking the leadership of God, trying to figure it out himself, he ran into a great problem. But anyway, all of that, if we just had time to detail it, would be astounding if you've never heard the Lord talk about it. It says the mystery of God should be finished. That area had to do with the Pope. I told you it had to do with the priest, it had to do with the Pope, the thing that would take place, how it took place. Confidentially, I spoke to some of them. It took place just exactly like we said. The automobile that we gave had to do with the crown. It was a beautiful golden Lincoln. And we spoke to some of them sporadically as to what the car that came out of Florida had to do with, which was the car, the golden crown. And one of them had to do with one of my daughters. One of them had to do with the other daughter. Now, and the car being returned in that the battery was returned in the days of the voice of the truck that was called the days of the voice, the power unit that came out of the car. And then the golden car that came up from Florida had to do with the crown returning or leaving the papacy and going to the Jews or coming to little Bethlehem. It left the Jews, the crown left the Jewish people. Back in 975 BC, the first part of Israel was caught away, or the second part of Israel. The first part of Israel had been caught away. 10 tribes had went down into Assyria, and then the others were taken down into Babylon, and the crown went into Babylon. And ever since that time, the days of the Gentiles setting in, the crown was with the Gentiles. And the head of the Gentiles was the papacy. The thing that took place with the brother, with Pope, had to do with the crown returning to here. We spoke of it concerning the priests that came over. It had to do with the crown returning back to the Jewish people, or that is coming here. The flag to the president, it had to do with that. This flag to Israel has to do with that. Going into India has to do with the redemption of the body. It is all so beautiful. If I had not been late tonight coming here, I intended to elaborate a little more and bring out some things in detail to where I could have had it on tape and where you could have listened. I don't like to detail things unless a person is spiritual because they don't like to listen. Rather be inspired, whether you preach to them, scream at them, and feel the vibration of the Holy Spirit. And they're not interested in growing in the grace and knowledge. Now, they don't understand the deep mysteries, so it's not interesting to them. But me, I am thrilled to the bottom of my soul in such a way till there is no comparison. I'd rather have this wonderful revelation, no understanding of Jesus, than all of the universe, and it's so wonderful to those that can perceive. But dropping in a little bit in bits and pieces, that's what it has to do with. Here, it is the end of the world. Now listen, but in the days of the voice,
in the days of the voice. In the days of the voice. Now, the emphasis is placed on the voice. When John came, they said, "Tell us, are you the Christ?" He said, "I am not the Christ." He said, "Then are you that prophet?" For the Bible said, "God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself, that is Moses, shall come to pass. Whosoever fails to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people." So they was expecting a prophet. They said, "Are you that prophet?" Now, if you notice, they made a difference between the Christ and that prophet. They said, "Are you the Christ?" "No," he said, "I'm not the Christ." "Are you then that prophet?" "No, I'm not that prophet," he said. Now, it says, "But I am the voice of one. In the days of the voice, for I am the voice of one. Crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. I am the voice. I am the voice." Now, it says, "And in the days of the voice." Here, and it says, "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. In the days of the voice, when he begins to sound, the mysteries shall be finished." If you'll notice, that's in the 10th chapter, the 7th verse. Immediately following is the 11th chapter that speaks of the two prophets that comes on the scene. Not one prophet, it says two prophets that came on the scene. It says immediately in the 15th verse of the 11th chapter, "And the seventh angel sounded." And the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven. Not a voice, but apparently many voices. When this one voice sound, then many voices ring out. Many voices ring out. When John sees Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, it says that his voice was like many waters rumbling, the rumbling of many waters, which indicates that it was a body of people that had come together in the sense of one voice, one membership. And it says when this last angel spoke, it says that great voices in the plural, were heard in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, kingdoms plural, are become the kingdoms plural, of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and forever. The Bible said of his kingdom, there shall be no end. It goes on to say the 420 elders was there before him, worshiping God. They said, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." I want you to listen close now. "Thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Now, it's obvious here that in the days of the voice, somebody said, "Well, I don't know when this voice is going to be, Brother Pike. I don't know when this voice is going to be. Therefore, how can I know when the voice, who the voice is going to be, or what the voice is going to be? In that I don't know when it's going to be." But if you'll notice, it says in 10 and 7, "In the days of the voice," it says the mysteries will be finished. That means the world will be at an end. Because I preached to you, if you remember, that the only existence of the world is because of a mystery. There would be no existence of the tangible side of life in the sense of sin and depletion, except there was a mystery. Because what a mystery is something that is unknown in that it is within the veil. If the veil is rent, and then the unknown is made manifest and is brought forth, It is no longer a mystery. Therefore, the rent veil at Calvary brought forth the mystery. That is why that it is listed or written in Revelation 12. 10, 11, and 12 brings it forth. 13 also. Okay, now, see, it says in the days of the voice. When will that voice be? Somebody said this man was the seventh angel and that man was the seventh angel. And that angel sounded so many years ago and this angel sounds and on and on and on. But it is a true fact that there is something wrong with that. There is something wrong with that. Somebody has misunderstood something. Somebody would say, well, I know that I know that I know. But see, it doesn't matter how much that Brother Pike says that he knows, or you say that you know, or somebody say that they know, if it doesn't fit the book, if it doesn't fit the foundation, if it doesn't fit the scripture, it is absolutely void. They do not know. Though they're so convinced that they know, they still do not know. They're vainly puffed up by what they believe or what they think, and they're not going to the Bible to find out. Now let's look at it again. But in the days of the voice, the mystery will be finished. And it says, when the mystery is finished, this is what happens. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what happens in the days of the voice. In the days of the voice, it says that the nations are angry, the wrath of God has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that the prophets should be rewarded, and God should destroy them that destroy the earth, that is, with wars or whatever. It says that in the days of the voice, that thou, O Lord, hast taken to thyself thy kingdom and power, and has reigned in the days of the voice. When is the days of the voice? It says in chapter 15 or chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven. Now, in the days of the voice, in the days of the voice, when this voice begins to speak, when will this voice be? When will this voice be? Somebody says over here 5 years ago, 2 months back, it'll be 5 months in the future, be 2 years. But what does the Bible say about the voice as to when it will come? Go back and look at John again. In the days of the voice, are you the Christ? No. Are you then that prophet? No. Are you Elias? No. Well, who are you? We want you to tell us. Why do you want me to tell you? Because we've got to go back and tell our leaders and our rulers and the government and the powers and the presidents, whatever they had in that day. We've got to go back and tell them. We've got to let them know who you are and what you're doing. So they said, who are you? He said, all right, I'll tell you. He said, I am the voice. Who are you? I am the voice. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, how does that fit what you're saying here? Because Calvary has to do with the 12th chapter. And in the 12th chapter, it is the rending of the veil. It is the war in heaven that brought the thunders. It is the great angel that's casting out Lucifer into the earth. It is that war that Daniel spoke about. It is that great thing that's happening. The thunders, the war in heaven, Lucifer cast out. Chapter 13, personifying himself. So then, this great act of Calvary goes back to the middle of the week. It goes back to 12, chapter 12. So then it means that when John came, John said, I am the voice. The law and the prophets comes up to my day. The world, the types, the shadows, the mystery comes up to my day, the law and the prophets until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been unveiled. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. Since that time, men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. This great mystery that's taking place is being revealed to the saints of God, are those that are spiritual, and the spiritual man, those that are spiritual, are being translated by faith into the kingdom of God. For God hath translated us into his marvelous kingdom. And so then God is translating us into his kingdom. This has been going on ever since Calvary. The church ages was for the purpose of translating us into the kingdom. So then when Jesus came to the Jewish people, the only thing that caused him not to immediately destroy the world is that the Jewish people were not ready to receive their Messiah. It wasn't that the Messiah wasn't ready, because the Messiah was ready. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. He was made of a woman, or born of a woman, and made under the law. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law. It was in the fullness of time. And that was the end of all things. And Peter said, "Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. All things have come to an end. Be sober, be vigilant, because all things are at an end." All things are at an end, Peter said. This is the end of it. There is no more. You say, how could Peter say that? Because Peter was saying, this is the rending of the veil. This is the rending of the veil. And when the veil is rent, there's no more hidden mysteries. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that since Calvary, there's been a lot of hidden mysteries. Since Calvary, there has never been another hidden mystery. Jesus said, it is finished. Paul the apostle raised up and gave the wonderful statement that now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, even unto the heavenly places. Ever since Calvary, it has been made known to the people, but we are dull of hearing and we are slow to come to the things of God. Therefore, God has been merciful down through what he called the church ages, sending the teachers and the wonderful preachers to preach glad tidings of great joy, that there is now a rent veil and the great mysteries of God is available to the church. All you've got to do is move in and freely partake of the wonderful mysteries of God. So then when John came, he said, I'll tell you who I am. I am the voice. I am the voice. Or he could have said, I am the voice that's bringing the end of the world. I'm the last voice. I'm the last voice, and with this comes the end of the world. I'm the last voice, and with this comes the end of the world. And with this, the stars shall fall from heaven, which are the fallen angels. It was typified by the Jewish people as they went out of the knowledge of God, in that being in the presence of God all of these years, they were the stars of the heaven, in that they dwelled in Canaan, and they were the light of all the earth, which was, of course, at that time, the first heaven. Back in the first heaven, as we say, they were the light of that great, wonderful heaven. And so then, when the end of the world came, the heaven, the stars were cast out of heaven. The stars fell from the heavens, as the second heaven setting at Calvary. The stars fell from heaven and fell down to the earth. That is, they were cast out of the presence of God, and the Jewish people went away into darkness. So then, you that are not spiritual, you will never understand what I'm saying. You that are not spiritual, you will never go into the kingdom of God. You that are not spiritual, you will never be in heaven. You will never have eternal life. You will never know what I'm saying, because you cannot be partakers. There's no way you can be partakers of it. Because to get into heaven is a translation. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith into heaven. He appeared in glory. That is to say, we didn't see him, but he was in the same place as Moses and Elijah. Therefore, Enoch went into heaven by faith. He appeared in heaven. By faith, he went into the other world. By faith, he did that. In that it was an interwoven work that was on the inside of him. It was his faith in God that did that. He walked with God 300 years and he was not, for God took him, because before his testimony, or before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Today, if we don't have a testimony of pleasing God, we can't go to heaven. And the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only testimony is the testimony of faith, because Jesus is the high priest of our confession, and our faith is the confession of our soul. So then, when this great thing took place, the stars fell from heaven. John said, I am the voice. I am the voice. I am the end of the world. I am the voice. The law and the prophets is the world. And when the law and the prophets end, that's the end of the world. I am the voice. And from henceforth, the heavens is rolled open. From henceforth, the veil is rent. From henceforth, the revelation of Jesus Christ is the unveiled mysteries of God. And from henceforth, all of these great things and that great, wonderful heaven of God is now revealed. That is to say, Calvary is the rending of the veil. This is the place where the second heaven has been rent. This is the place where the door has been opened. That's why in our day, Shepherd, going up like he has, shows this. If I was standing up here on this platform and something here in the way of the curtains was pulled across here, then that means that while it was pulled across here, that would be the veil. The veil between you and the veil between me. That would have to do with the veil that stands between you and that which is the third heaven. And today or tonight, as it was, when they held this veil up here, which was the flag, or that which had to do with the Lord Jesus, that flag said, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You couldn't read that. You couldn't see that, because having eyes to see, you saw not what it said. Having ears to hear, you heard not what was being said. You didn't understand, because that was in another language. And so it is when I speak. The Bible said it's not me speaking, but it's God speaking. And God is speaking to his children. And those that have ears to hear, they understand. And those that have eyes to see, they see. But you don't see and you don't hear, because you don't have eyes to see and you don't have ears to understand. Your eyes are filled with adultery, and your desire filled with fornication. And you come here filled with debate of mind, and filled with envy and strife, and filled with resentment, and filled with reasoning, and filled with fault finding. You do not enter into the sanctuary with praise and adoration and glory to God to try to understand in meekness and sweet submission in virtue. You come on a pedestal as to feeling who you are and what you know, and you understand the situation, and you know where the preacher's going, and you know where he's been, and you understand what he is, and you blind yourself. Lucifer blinds you with your own carnal mind that's at enmity with God, and it becomes a middle wall of partition, and you cannot see what we're saying and what we're doing. So it is when the twins hung the flag up here. When they were holding it, it had to do with the two prophets. And they were standing here in the time of the two prophets. The 11th chapter, in the days of the voice. And then when the voice speaks, the veil is rent. And the prophets come on the scene. And when the prophets come on the scene, then Israel is awakened. But at that time, all of a sudden, the man-child goes up, which has to do with the rapture, and out goes the red dragon, which means no more blood life in the presence of God. When you say the red dragon goes out, it simply means the days of grace is over, because the days of grace is heaven. And when the days of grace is over, it means you people that don't have the Holy Ghost, you people that don't have the Spirit of God in you, you people that cannot think spiritual, you people that don't love spiritual things, you people that are always resentful, jealous, fault-finding, all of these things, it means you are cut off from God entirely. It means that your understanding can't comprehend God no more. It means that you'll get more gullible for the things of the world and have a greater desire for the things of the world and want to do the things of the world and go more and more after the things of the world. Already you can tell that the spark of life is leaving. I told my wife today as we walked over through the mall over there, I said, Betty, I have that feeling like I'm walking through a morgue. I said, the people are dead. They're gone. The spirit of life is lifted. It's gone. There's no more. It's like Brother Scotty made the statement. He said, as long as I was at Little Bethlehem doing something for God, he said, I just love to come out here and work on my job, make money and these kind of things. He said, but now my job is a burden to me. To come out here and work is a burden to me. You know why? Because God is the inspiration of life, and the inspiration of life wasn't with Scotty anymore. And the same way with you, and the same way with me or anybody else. If I leave God and you leave God, there is nothing that sparkles anymore, because God is the sparkle of life. God is the radiance of life. God is what makes life worthwhile, because God is life. So then, being filled with a reprobate mind of debate, despite believing there was some great thing when we're not. Believing that we're some great person when we're not. This is repulsive in the sight of God. There is but one person that's important. That's Jesus. One person that is important. That is Christ. There is but one person that is great. That's Jesus. If you're his body, then you're great. If you're not his body, then you're not great. If you're his body, you're important. If you're not his body, you're not important. No matter what you think about yourself, you're not important. You see, how then can I be the body of the Lord Jesus, Brother Pike? You can be the body of the Lord Jesus if you yourself is filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you're none of his. The Bible said, if you have not my Spirit, you are none of mine. So then, if the preacher would just preach the way I want him to, if he'd just say the things I want him to say, and be the person I want him to be, and talk the way I want him to talk, and his voice would just sound the way that I want it to sound, me and him would be such friends, and I wouldn't resent him, and I wouldn't find fault. But there'll never be days like that. The Bible said it's not him speaking, but God. And Paul said, though rude in speech, not in knowledge. The preacher will always be rude in speech, always. Because God called him to be rude in speech. Really, he's not rude in speech. To be honest with you, he is one of the most blessed speakers in all of the world. He's not rude in speech. It is only rude to you because of your rudeness and understanding. It's only rude to you because of your selfishness and gullible ways. It's only rude to you because it crosses your abased desires or your base desires. It crosses the beast part of you. It crosses your human reason. It crosses your carnality. And because of that, then it sounds rude to you. It causes that to rise up within your flesh that is not pleasing. So then in the 12th chapter, the Bible tells us here, as God emphatically speaks to us, he tells us here that at the casting out of the red dragon, John said, I tell you who I am. I am the voice. I am the voice. I tell you who I am. I am the voice. Jesus said concerning John, this is he of whom I spoke. Somebody said a prophet. He said, greater than a prophet, he is the voice. This is the one that I sent before me. He is the voice. He's greater than a prophet. Then when he spoke here, he said, of them that are born among men, there's no greater than John. There's not risen a greater than John, he said, of all of them that's among men. They said, who are you, John? I am the voice. Now, in this, what does that mean? The end of the world. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, because in the fullness of time, God sent his son, and he said, this is God's son. This is the fullness of time. And Jesus lifted up his hand to heaven and said, Father, it is finished. You can pull down the curtains. You can close up the curtain. It's all finished. It's all over. That ends it. That lays it away. That folds it up. And that lays it away. Just as the flag that went to Reagan's, it indicated that old glory is folded up and laid away, and a new glory has come in. It indicates that that glory that was not sufficient, that glory that went into a recession, that glory that went into a depression, that glory that left this earth in the sense that it's no more, now there is a new glory, there is a new nation, even a peculiar nation, that zealous of good works, that wants to be like our God, and the great wonderful nation of God's people has at last risen up. For the Bible said, the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and shall possess it forever and ever, or that is, the kingdoms of this world in the days of the voice have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. That's why the flag went to Reagan's. That's why the flag is going into Israel. That's what this thing had to do with. Somebody says, crazy Brother Pike, foolish Brother Pike. What is he doing messing with the flag? I'm doing what God told me to do. What is he doing building what he calls the Bethlehem? I'm doing what God told me to do. Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread, the head of the nations. What is Brother Pike doing? Why does he build it? He's building it not like a church, he's building it like a nation. I'm building it like a nation because we are a nation. The Bible said we are a peculiar people, a peculiar nation. We are a nation. We've got a king. His name is Jesus. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's coming forth at this hour to completely take the entire universe to his own desire and his own way of life. He is the one to be praised. He's the one to be lifted up. He's the one to be magnified. There's nothing to compare with him. And so then at this moment, we're moving by faith, step by step. This is not linked hands with the Baptists. It didn't spring from the A.A. Allen or the Oral Roberts or anything else. It never sprang from anything. It came up all together by faith in God from a little seed that God dropped into the ground, that it might be original, that it might be new, that nobody could say, as the Bible said, that they have made Abraham rich. But God, doing what he promised, has done exactly what he said would be done. And so then the thing has been spoken of day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year until everything has perfectly fallen into place. And God has done it exactly the way that he said it. God has done it exactly the way that we told it. God has done it right down to the T. And I challenge any man, woman, boy, or girl here or anywhere in the world to prove to me that that's wrong. I challenge you to do it. Somebody says, well, I know of. I challenge you in the name of Jesus to come to me and pinpoint it and prove to me that you do know. I'll tell you right now, you don't know. But I challenge you to come and prove to me that you do if you do. See, you can't find anything wrong with it. Not anything wrong with it. You can't find in one place where it's failed. Not one place. Some of you have tried to twist and change the things that we said. I heard somebody no longer than today, I believe it was, tell me what I said. It was either today or yesterday. Tell me what he knew that I said. And I thought, no. Now see, that's how much attention you paid to me. You didn't hear what I said. I didn't say that. I spoke something that God told me to say, and that's what you got out of it. See, the devil does that so he can say, well, that's the way. You see, it didn't happen. But it's happened. The songwriter said, just like he said. There's not one variation, and I mean what I'm saying. I challenge anybody, anywhere where my ministry's ever been, and in this area for years and years, I challenge you in the name of Jesus, if you're a man at all, to stand up or to come to me and point out where it didn't work out just exactly like I said when he told me what was to happen. See, it did happen. That means it has to be God. That means it came right down the line upon line, and precept upon precept. And that's why that today I can stand on the Word of God. It's still happening. Even this year when I made the statement, so far as I know, brethren, I said, first of all, we'll go into Mexico. That's the way he'll lead. We did it and had the crusade. The next thing we'll do, we'll go down to the boat and we'll do something to the boat. And then from there into the islands, if I understand right. And after that into India, if I understand right. And I went on to say what I understood that God would do. I didn't make any arrangements for any of it. I can tell you here, and Brother Jerry Lambert can vouch for the fact that I never made any plans to go into the islands. I had no plans to go into the islands. And I was confronted with the thing to go into the islands, and God spoke to me like that. We went into the islands. It was on the spur of the moment. Jerry was even shocked because he had no plans. Jerry, you didn't have no idea of going in, did you? And I didn't have any idea that you know of going into the islands. Do you know of any? Not any. It was just like that. See, and the same way with India. I had no plans of going to India. I wasn't making any plans to go into India. And then all of a sudden here come the letter saying, Brother Pike, we want you to come by February. We want you there by February. And then all of a sudden it clicked and I told my wife. I said, well, it's falling into line just right. So that means God's going to be sending us over. Now, I don't have nothing to do with it. It's God. This is the thing that we need to see. You know, if you could ever get this in your mind, you'd stop your foolishness. You'd stop your resentment. You'd stop your fault finding. You'd realize that your carnal mind is enmity with God. And you'd realize that when you come in here doing the things that you're doing, that it's foolishness to God. And that God despises your very presence when you do that.
that you stand in the way of sinners, you sit in the seat of the scornful, you lift yourself up in your mind, in that you are in a special place and you are a special person and you've done a special thing, and I don't know of any special thing you've done. I don't know of any. God, my hand be raised to God, both of them. I don't know of any special thing you've done. Everything that I know of, God has done it. I've checked it out thoroughly, and God has done it. In the first place, you are not financially able to project anything like this. There's no way. You're not financially able. You can't do it. Somebody said, I gave. You gave a drop in the bucket. Somebody said, but I gave $30,000. I gave $100,000, but I've had to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even leaving right now, I made the statement, it's been about, just to be able to get things intact, it took $70,000 that I can think of offhand. At least $70,000 that'll register that quick, or more, just to be able to go over yonder. Now, see, I'm saying that to say this, it is the hand of God. It is the act of God. It is not the act of Brother Pike. It is not the act of Bethlehem. It is the act of God. And you're foolish people to credit yourself with something that you don't possess and something that you don't have and something that you've done. This is the thing that angered God with Israel, is they took that, I'm holy and even more holier than thou, talking to the other people. I am more holier than thou. And it upset God. God said, away with you. Nobody's holy but me, God said. Away with that foolishness. I said, I can't find any of you. He said, there's none good, no, not any. I can't find any of you. And like the song we wrote, when God searched through heaven to find a man, he couldn't find anybody. And finally, he said, I'll go down there and do it myself. It's a true fact that Jesus Christ was God himself walking in the flesh and manifested in the flesh to show that not one living human being from eternity to eternity was good. Not one. He couldn't find one. That not one of them was capable of doing the job. Somebody said, oh, he just lifted up. Like somebody told me in Nebraska, said he's just somebody that wants somebody to praise him. I don't bow down to nobody, he said. The words of a fool. The words of a fool. Jesus Christ hasn't demanded that anybody bow down to him. To the contrary, he gave grace and said, go your way, Balaam, and do whatever you want to. When you come to the end, then that'll be the time to give an account for your foolishness. You do what you will. But the Lord Jesus Christ never took any vain glory. He never stood up in strife. He never done any special thing in any special way to project himself. The Bible said he sought of himself to make of himself no reputation in any manner whatsoever. He humbled himself to that of a servant. He died in that manner. He came in a manger. He washed the people's feet. He never done anything at all to have any glory. But today, it is a positive fact that it's not that he receives glory because he's got a rod of iron that says you're going to glorify me, but it's because he outdone every living human being as a human being. He came as a human being and he outdone every living human being, from priests to scribes to kings and every other person in the world. He outdone them 10 times 10. And God looked down and said, you're a human being, but you've lived 10 times 10 better than what Brother Pike and Brother Taylor and Brother Ron and Brother Junior and Brother Lynn and Brother Bobby and all of the other brothers. You've done 10 times 10 greater. And he looked at every prophet from Elijah on down to Abraham and said, son, you've done 10 times 10 better than any of them. I can't find no fault in you whatsoever. And every one of them aside from you, I see filled with faults and failures, self-exaltation, self-ambition. All of it's nothing but pride, and I'll destroy it all. And Jesus said, if I've found favor in your sight, my heavenly Father, then spare Brother Pike, spare Brother Taylor, spare these people if I've found favor in your sight. If I've found favor in your sight, spare them. And God said, not for their sake, I won't do it. I won't do it for their sake, I won't do it. They're wretched and abominable in my presence. But for your sake, son, I'll do it. I'll do it. So then, when we look at this thing, we don't find anybody. When it comes down to the last step of the way, there's nobody but him. The Bible said, in that day, he alone shall be exalted. Not one can you find, doctor, lawyer, professional man, money man, rich man, whatever. Not one is able to take us over. Not one. It's him alone.
So then here in the book of Revelation, that's what this has to do with. This flag is to be given over yonder. We're going to take it over there by the grace of God. Why? It is to show that salvation has returned to the Jews. It is to show that that hour is here, the capstoning of that pyramid, the finishing of the mystery. John said, when the voice sounds, that's the end of the world. That's the end of the world. Peter said, the end of the world. Now then, you that are in heaven, rejoice. You've been translated into the kingdom of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Now you've been translated into the kingdom of God. And you say, well, Brother Pike, what are we doing over here at the end of the church ages? If what you say is true, what is this at the end of the church ages? It's nothing but the recognition of what Jesus done at Calvary. It's nothing but the comprehending by the eyes of our understanding and the sense of recognition to move in and take the kingdom and to claim what belongs to us and to become what we've always been in God, in the sense that people might see it and that it might be a thing that's manifested, that all might come and bow down at our feet and know that God has loved us, and that we might rise up and take the kingdoms of this world, thus the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of the Christ and of God, that he might reign forever and ever. That is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ coming forth as flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone to do that very thing. And this flag having to do as the other flag that went to Mr. Reagan's, this one to Begins, having to do with the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So then it is a true fact that this flag has a great significance, and I myself, even tonight, would love to talk to you more, but I know that I've been late coming, and I know that you're tired, and I know that you're weary, but at the same time, I don't feel you're very spiritual. I just can't help it. I wished I could feel the Bethlehem people spiritual. I wished I could. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But even when I talk, I just don't feel it. Our spirit just don't relate to one another. We don't make the connection of the enthusiasm of that which I'm enthused over and that I'm excited over as to you. It's not exciting to you. It's an intellectual thing as to say, well, we know it and we hear it and we understand it. And it's just not all of that exciting. It's not all of that much and whatever. But I want you to know, brother, with all of the things that I've said and all of the emphasis I've placed upon it, you've not even touch one tiny bit of it. It is so much greater than what you've ever even as much as touched until there's no way to express it to you. It's utterly impossible. My hand be raised to heaven. I hope God will kill me before I breathe another breath. It is so far greater than you've even begun to comprehend until you've not even as much as seen that much of it to that extent. It is the greatest thing that has ever come into the world. There's never been anything like it, never in all the history of mankind. The end is better than the beginning. It is so astoundingly great. Somebody said, well, I ain't seen all of it, and I ain't got all of it. I know that. That's what I'm talking about now. But I have seen it, and I have got it. And I thank God for it, and my soul is in a state of ecstasy that there is nothing that can be compared to it. But you're not spiritual. You're still of the world. You're still wanting the world. You're still wanting the things of the world. You still think is the world. You're still interested in the world. And you're still carrying the attire of the world. But you that love the Lord, you that love Jesus, you that have tried to make a start, though many of you may be babes in Christ, you desire the sin-sealed milk of the Word that you might grow thereby, that from day to day and time to time and year to year, that your eyes may come open a little more, and that the enlightening of your understanding may cause you to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. Because, beloved friend, you can take my word for it, and I know many of you will not, but you can take my word for it. You're not going to make the translation. You're not going to make the rapture if you don't get your spiritual eyes open, and if you don't get a spiritual interest, and if you don't get in here and begin to talk with God. You're not going to be translated, because Enoch was translated by faith. Somebody says, Brother Pike, when is this great translation going to take place? It's been taking place ever since Calvary. and people that love God, that believe God, and people that are spiritual and people that have faith have been translated into that kingdom, and they've been chosen out of this world, and they're already raptured and they're already in heaven, and God is not doing anything except revealing to them who they are and what they are and where they are, that they might become the great eternal possessors of heaven and earth, and it might be made manifest in their mortal genes, that all of the world will have to back off as they take control. So then the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, that He might reign forever and ever. And that's the purpose of these flags, and that's the purpose of this trip. And even though we're going forth to try to win souls, to try to preach the gospel, to try to do something for them that love the Lord, yet our purpose is, as I have told you, we're sent for a purpose. As a man said one time, born for a purpose. Born for a purpose. We're sent forth for a purpose. And this purpose is, as we've tried to do from time to time and carrying it out, and even though the people that I alone do understand is my people at Bethlehem, but I know that you do not. I know that you do not. And though you've comprehended some things, I know that you do not, because it is evident that you do not, in that you are not moving any closer to the Spirit, and that you're not spiritual in the things that we're telling you. But nevertheless, I love you. I love you as babes in Christ. And I want to see you move up, and I'd like to see you get some things from God. And it's up to you as to whether you do or whether you don't. Brother Pike cannot make you. I'm not going to attempt to make you. I'm just telling you from the bottom of my heart that this is true. And as I go to more babes, even babes that are smaller than you are, that are younger, as we say, in the things of God than you are. I go to those babes, and they will believe. They will believe. When I go to them, they know nothing, but they'll believe. And that's the most important thing of all. They will believe. It makes it difficult for me to even preach to the people of Bethlehem. Very difficult for me to preach to them. The reason is because they get like the Jews. The Jewish people were so sure that they were God's people and so sure that they knew and had the answers that they disputed with God Almighty. And you come into this place right here, you're so sure that you're sure. And some of you have even gotten to a state of reprobate, and yet you're so sure that you're sure that you come in here and you wrestle and argue with Almighty God. That's when the Bible says, when you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. Because your thoughts, the Bible said, a man is not wise that answereth the matter before he hears it. And continually in your spirit or in your minds, I hear you answering the matter when you know nothing about it. And you're so sure that you do. That way, always finding something wrong. Always, like I said this morning, you're always finding something wrong with the brotherhood. You're always finding something wrong with the school. Always finding something wrong with the church. Always finding something wrong with the pastor. Always finding something wrong with the message. Finding something wrong with the life that we try to live, the doctrine that we try to teach, the standards that we try to hold up. But brother, someday, sister, someday it's going to be sad for you. The end of the world is rolling around now. And God isn't going to listen at it. He isn't going to listen at it. You may come in the sanctuary and act very religious, act very pious, as some of you do. But it's sad to say that you don't have God in your heart. And you that are just struggling along, that's getting a hold of something or making some effort to move up, some effort to be spiritual or to do something for God, I tell you in Jesus' name, stop thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. Cut back. Get back to where you belong. Humble your heart and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He might exalt you in due season. Prove what you are. Prove who you are. Do what you're supposed to. And when you do it and the world sees it, when you manifest it, it proves exactly what you are, what you're capable of doing, and who you are and what God's doing with you. Until that time, cut back and get back to where you belong and ask God to help you so that you can do something. Because in your mind you can think you're doing a great thing, and in your mind you can think you've done a great thing and find out that you haven't done anything. When your eyes come open and you begin to look around to check up to see what you've done, you'll find out you haven't done anything. So then tonight I tell you those things, preaching to you a little bit, even though I just wanted to exhort you a little bit. Had no intentions to really preach at you, but the kind of atmosphere that you create and the reception that I get, it calls for preaching, because some of you are in terrible shape. But you need to pray.
Brother Pike's going to close in a few minutes and leave you to yourselves. And it'll probably be a month, I guess, before I get back, or at least 20 days or more. See, and I'll leave you to yourselves, and you can do what you want to. It's obvious that you're not in the place that you think you are, or you wouldn't get in the condition that you do when we leave. That's very obvious. My daughter told me, I said, you remember, honey, I said, when you leave, you're going to be in bad circumstances. I don't have to have you to live my life. I don't have to have you to tell me what to do. I know how to live right. I can do it. And I said, I wish you did, and I wish you could. I said, but to the contrary, when you get out there, you're going to find it's altogether different, and you're not going to be able to live an overcoming life, and you're not going to know what to do, and you're going to be in problems, and so it is, and so it was, and so it continues. But there's one thing about it. Sheep have a shepherd, and they know their shepherd, and they submit to their shepherd, and they follow their shepherd, and they honor their shepherd. And in doing that, they're blessed, and they're great and mighty people. But goats will not follow a shepherd. Goats will not follow. They'll butt, they'll kick, they'll blate, they'll do anything, but they will not follow the shepherd. They will not. They're always causing problems. But true sheep will follow a shepherd. And I do have a few sheep here at Bethlehem. I do have, as Jesus said, a little flock. Out of all of you, I have a few. I wished I could say that all of you were following Christ and all of you were my sheep. But you're not. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They follow me. And so it is. That's the way it is here. But we have other sheep that's not of this fold. Numbers of sheep that are not of this fold. Someday, he said, I'll bring them all together. There'll be one shepherd. There'll be one fold. That great eternal shepherd, even the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, I said these things to try to help you. I said these things to try to encourage you. I said these things to try to lift you up. And I wish that the atmosphere could have been a little bit different in the sense of your hunger, thirst, interest, and whatever. But consequently, it wasn't. So then this is the way that I have to leave you, and this is the things I've said to you, not to hurt you, but to let you know that you need to repent and get closer to God while I'm gone. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and do something before it's too late, lest the Lord himself take the same outlook with you that he did with the Jews. Turn away from you and go to another nation and go to another people, because that's what he's done to America. He's turned away from them now, and he's gone to another nation. He's gone to another people. They've been haughty. They've been greedy. They've been gullible. They've been self-confident. They felt like their education, their talents, their abilities, and all of these things was worthy of the praise of God. And they've disgusted God in the sense that God has turned them into a bunch of religious fanatics and turned them into a bunch of hippies and beatniks and deadbeats and swindlers and liars and cheats and murderers and everything else. Perverts, he's done it. Sent them strong delusions and let them believe a lie to cause them to be damned. And now he's turning to the other people. All because, as was the Jews, they're overconfident. So then, let's not be overconfident. Let's love the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. In Bethlehem, let's realize that we're absolutely nothing except by his grace, and that we need to do something to obtain his grace. Not that we can obtain it through works in the sense that it's through Jesus Christ, but we can obtain it in the sense that if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. You resist him, he'll resist you. He'll resist the proud, give more grace to the humble. I want you to stand with me. I find more enthusiasm out of a few brethren that get together occasionally than I do out of the entire congregation when I come here. More enthusiasm and living ego for God than I do when I come here and get you people together. It is unbelievable the unbelief that I feel in the midst of you. The unbelief, the lack of confidence is unbelief. The lack of confidence in the pastor, the lack of confidence in the message, the lack of confidence in what we're doing, the lack of exuberance and the activation toward the wonderful things of God. Unbelief. Unbelief, striving, resentment, jealousy, fault-finding, evil, conniving. sitting in the seat of the scornful, standing in the way of sinners. It's terrible to be like that. The Bible said, be ye not of a doubtful mind. But one day, your house is going to be left to you desolate. And you're going to be without hope until you will say, God bless the man that comes and speaks to us about Jesus. Blessed is the man that cometh in the name of my Lord that'll tell me something and tell me about the Lord. But I know what you're going to do because I know what you've done. I know what you're going to do because I know what you've done. To you that really love God, and to you that are really sincere, and to you that really want to go on with God, to you that are not resentful and not jealous, that's not always fault-finding, you that are not always trying to pick things apart and reproach us and tear down, to you that have tried sincerely to walk straight, to be clean, to be godly, to be upright, to you, I say God bless you and God help you. As we go, I say God keep you because you're my children. To you that are reprobates and fault finders, always cursing the children of God like Balaam, always finding fault, always tearing down, always interfering, always hindering, I say I trust that somehow you'll repent of your wickedness and God will have mercy on you before it's too late and before you breathe that last breath. It's like I was telling some of them, some of you know the preacher that we mentioned last night. Some of you don't know him. 10 evangelists preaching for years. And all of a sudden he had a heart attack. He dropped dead. All of a sudden, I know for sure that that man hadn't been doing right. I know for sure he hasn't done the things that please God. And that's bad. As to what God will do with him, I trust that there's some way for God to have mercy on his soul. But one day I'll give an account for what I'm saying and the things I'm doing, and someday you'll give an account for what you've said and what you do. I'll give an account for everything that I thought, every thought. God will examine it. You'll give an account for every thought that you've thought. God will examine it. Even in this life, the thought that you've thought is going to determine the blessings of God on your children or the curse of God. Somebody would say, God wouldn't curse my children. The Bible said, blessed shall be the fruit of the womb, or that your blessings is cursed already. It's very obvious that Satan is literally tearing the little ones apart because of the wickedness of mothers and daddies. It's sad. They are determined that they're going to do their own thing, as the world says. Because the parents have eaten sour grapes, the children's teeth are on edges. God is the God that visits the iniquity of the fathers down upon the children to the third and fourth generation. Somebody would say, but we're in the days of grace. It is true. You are in the days of grace. It is dispensational grace, and as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, the visitation of that iniquity is held off of your head to some degree, depending on the way you walk and as to how long you'll walk in his grace. But it is also a true fact that just as soon as grace is lifted, to the third and fourth generation will come the wrath of God. Why? Even from the blood of righteous Abel all the way down. We say why? Because there is no peace to the wicked. There is no grace to the wicked. There is no eternal substance to the wicked. There is none. You'll visit your iniquity upon your own head because there is no peace to the wicked. But them that love God, he's going to help them. He's going to stand by. And I can truthfully say, I love you. And some of you have been a lot of help to me. You've cut me to my heart. You've wounded me. You've made me bleed. You have criticized. You've beat upon my back. And you've done everything that people could do
to torment me and to tear me down. Because of that, your houses are going to be left desolate. Your little temple, your body, is going to lose its life. The life, the waters of life are going to depart from your temple, which is your house. It's going to be desolate of that wonderful flow of the waters of life. It's not going to be in you. Your house is going to be desolate. And you're going to cry from within saying, my God, what a fool I've been. What a fool I've been to try to hold my composure and have a stiff, stubborn, starchy will in mind. What a fool when I should have been mellow and tender and surrendered, not tried to hold my composure in any way except in the love of God. You're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry. I say these things to you always at the end of the service because you get scared and you think, I'm leaving now. I want His blessings. I want the blessings of God. I don't want nothing between me and Him or me and God. But all through the service you'll hinder. All through the service you'll give place to demons. All through the service you'll sit in the seat of the scornful. All through the service you'll let your carnal mind be at enmity with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God, to hinder the blessings to the children. And then just as quick as that's over, then you want the rain and you want the blessings. But folks, you're not going to get it. You've got it for many years, but you're not going to get it. Hypocrisy is at an end. You're not going to get it. Your judgments is coming. Your pains is coming. Your sufferings is coming. There won't be any healing medicine for you. There won't be any consolation for you. There won't be any words of comfort for you. It's coming. It's coming. Because you didn't love Him and you didn't care for Him. And He's the healing of medicine. God is the healing that's in medicine. God is the inspiration that is in life. God is the life that's in the breath you breathe. When He withdraws, there's nothing but misery and sad days and heartaches and woes. But you'd rather do that. I marvel at some of you women, how you come here at Bethlehem and you wear the long dresses, for which I'm very grateful that you don't come showing your nudeness here. But I marvel that you come here, and as quick as you hit the streets and as quick as you go home, you crawl into the short dresses and you go on with your frivolous way of life. You come here very religious and pious. And as quick as you get away from here, you're gullible to the very baseness of life in the sense of your desire and the things that you do and your hunger and thirst for the movies and for TV and for newspapers and for magazines and for all of the things that life gives that's contrary to God. To gossip, to backbite, to find fault, jealousy, envy, strife, malice, hatred, bitterness, all of these things, fault finding, tearing down. You say things that the Bible said it is a sin for a saint to even think. The Bible said those things that are done in secret, they should never one time be named among you as becoming saints. Not even one time. You should never at any time even mention those things. And yet you discuss them. And you know why you do it a lot of times? Because you've got an issue with somebody. You're upset at somebody. You don't like somebody. Somebody's done something to you. And because of that, you want to tear down God and tear down everybody and find fault. Not being man or woman enough to go to them and settle it and keep it out of the church and keep it away from our people. You've got to take up the issue with God's people. That's sad, folks. That's sad. You get on the telephone, and it's like a hotline from place to place. You can't wait to gossip, to backbite, to tell your relatives, to tear down, killing the only source of light in life, putting it out, the only thing that could help, the only thing. Okay, Brother Rich is wanting me to pray for his little one. Is that little Joshua? Or, Melissa. It's little Melissa. I believe this is the one that we dedicated not too long ago, isn't it? The little one needs prayer.
prayer tonight. And we're going to pray for it. This little baby had a, what was his full name, brother? Nazareth. It had a real profound meaning of the birth of Christ. And as it is said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It is true that out of Bethlehem comes a king. Out of Bethlehem comes one upon whom the government shall rest upon the shoulders. The brother Duke coming up tonight after the flag being like it is. Tomorrow being Monday, the resurrection, the tomorrow after the Sabbath. It has great significance. You know, you pour water on dry ground. If it's very dry, the water's gone. Nothing comes up. The seed still dies. And I marvel. I bring such little revelation to you. And yet it's an abundance as to what some people have in their church. But I bring such little to you as to what God's got for you. As Jesus said, many things to say unto you, but you're dull of hearing. I bring it and I find the ground is so dry that it doesn't do me any good, hardly at all, to talk to you about spiritual things. Hardly does any good at all. And more, it becomes very disillusioning, very despairing because of your lack of interest in heavenly things, your lack of hunger and thirst, your lack of concern. Somebody said, well, what I want to do is go to heaven. Let me tell you, never going. You're never going. Let me tell you, never going. You say, why? Because you're blind and don't see. The God of this world has blinded your eyes. You don't see. I keep telling you this is not going to be a heaven like you're thinking. It's not going to be a place like you're thinking. There ain't going to be any days like you're planning for. That God is a spirit. And the only way to get into heaven is by faith of the translation of your spirit and soul. It's a dimension that you're translated into by faith in your inner being. And this thing that you wait for, that you're calling the rapture, which is the change of the body, don't you know you couldn't be part of that? Because the change of the body doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. That is only the manifestation of them that's already been in heaven. They're returning into their bodies that's been dead by the baptism of the Lord Jesus. It's been put in the water of grave. The people that love God, the Christians, they're already in heaven. They've already been translated. And they'll return for their bodies at the sounding of the last trump. In their glorious, wonderful way, they'll spring forth into the bodies to change the genetics. And that's by faith of the innermost Christ. And this thing that you're waiting for is a strong delusion. The Jews did the same thing because they were natural. And they said, will you at this time restore the kingdom? Will you restore the kingdom? He said, you don't even know what you're talking about. Said, you don't understand. There's no need of him trying to preach to you. Said, first of all, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not a pillar and a post, a tree and a brook. My kingdom is of that world. All of this other is lying vanity. And you're caught in it because your father is a liar. He's a liar. And all of his kingdom is lying vanity. And you're caught and trapped in it. That's why he walked through the wall. There was no wall. It's a lying vanity, a figment of imagination, a time of eating, drinking, and glutton. And someday you'll find out there was meat to eat that you knew not of. And some will receive the manna because they overcome, even the hidden manna. Whether we'll go back into Nazareth or not. And the last time I was there, we went into Nazareth. And perhaps we'll do the same thing this time. I don't know. Suppose the land in Tel Aviv, the Lord permit. And that after that we've had our meeting in Bombay, which has to do with the redemption of the soul, then returning back or leaving from there, going to Jerusalem. I'm really moved to have to leave the congregation. You know, feeling the unbelief that I felt tonight, the unconcern, the lack of spiritual interest and hunger and thirst. It really moves me to do it. But nevertheless, if people feed on the natural things all day long and the natural thoughts, and their only interest is eating and drinking and the worldly things, it's for sure that they're not going to have any spiritual appetite. So then all I can say is, God have mercy on you. And to them that are trying, them that love God, them that are making an effort, you can be sure that God will help you. The others, all of a sudden, something will happen. Something will go wrong. Something will fly up in your face. And you will be so sorry. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, Lord, as I pray for little Melissa, I pray that you'll touch this little body, the little one that we dedicated to you, Jesus, the treasure of our home and the treasure of our heart. Oh, God of Heaven, as we pray, Holy Fathers, I feel the anointing, the mighty inspiration of God moving in Jesus' name. Oh, heal. Lord, heal. In Jesus' name, heal. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Father, heal tonight. Restore that, oh, God, that the pommel worm has taken away. Heal. Restore in your miraculous way. Do it in Jesus' name. The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray that you'd heal. And I pray that you'd restore. Lord God of Heaven, put a spiritual thirst and a spiritual hunger in these hearts. My God, in Jesus' name, touch these human bodies. Touch these spirits and touch these hearts. Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, heal. Stretch out a healing hand. And my God, help us to be spiritual. Help us to have a hunger and a thirst for that invisible force, that invisible God, that invisible knowledge, that invisible power to heal, deliver, to break every yoke. In Jesus' lovely name, touch the little ones tonight. In Jesus' precious, lovely name, Father. Touch them in Jesus' name as they come up here tonight. The name of the Lord Jesus. Father, touch our brother tonight. In the name of Jesus. God, as we communicate with you, as we look away to heaven, break the yokes, move every evil, every wrong, create a hunger and a thirst in the innermost deep desire. Let us look beyond the veil, Father, realizing there is nothing in this world, but God, it's in the Spirit. Thou art a Spirit, and things that are spiritual are eternal, Father. Help us to look at spiritual things, comparing spiritual with spiritual, in Jesus' name. Bless in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, in the wonderful name of your lovely Son, Jesus, heal tonight. Heal tonight. Deliver tonight. Restore tonight. May the great, merciful hand of the Almighty God move in the miraculous, knowing that them that we bless will be blessed. I ask you to bless in Jesus' name, Father. Bless in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, bless in the wonderful name of Jesus tonight. Heal and restore. Oh God, help us to look away to Calvary. Oh God, help us to look away to that other world. In that world, in Jesus' name tonight, as I feel your anointing, Father, bless our brother. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. in your name tonight to heal and save in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your royal hand, knowing, my Father, Lord, that we need your blessings. We need your love. We need your strength. Father, heal. Heal and save. Forgive. Break every yoke. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you to do it. Hallelujah. Touch these little ones, precious Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, stretch out your healing hand. Father, to heal, may the hand of God, as I feel the anointing right now, the mighty hand of God be upon our sister. Oh God, in the name of the Lord, mighty Spirit of God, Jesus' name. Lord, as we look away to Calvary tonight, Father, as I feel thine anointing, the faith that's in the hearts, Father, oh God, knowing that we're getting closer to that wonderful, wonderful world of salvation, Lord, let us be spiritual. Let us look beyond the veil. Oh God, let us look away to heaven. Break the yokes, heal and deliver. Father, hear us from your palace in heaven, from your throne, Father. Look down and heal and break the yokes. In Jesus' name, Father, touch this sister tonight in the name of the Lord. God, you said they that hunger and they that thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Oh God, you said they shall be filled with your glory, with your wonderfulness, with the mighty anointing of God. Heal and save. Oh God, as I feel this mighty anointing in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. God, in your wonderful name tonight, stretch out your healing hand. Let the glory of God appear. Let the greatness of God appear. Oh Lord, move. Move in the name of Jesus by the quickening that I feel now. Oh God, in Jesus' name, as I feel this quickening, looking away to God, to the wonderful Spirit, to the wonderful Spirit. Lord, as I look into the spiritual world tonight, as I look into the spiritual world, searching and seeking, looking beyond the veil, looking beyond the veil, granted Jesus tonight even the blessings, the miraculous of God. Lord, as I feel the anointing tonight, Lord, you're being concerned about your people, being concerned, preserve them, take care of them. Oh God, and watch over them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name tonight, Father, let great things happen to your people. Let the mighty flow of Calvary come down. Let the glory of God move, looking and believing. In Jesus' name, Father, grant your blessings. Dear God, look down from heaven. Father, as we look at the path, oh Lord, along the road of Dolorosa, seeing the blood stains along the way, realizing what you did for us and the way that you loved us, nail-riven hands and wounded feet. Oh God, the bruised back, cut to the bone, all because of us. Father, you did not have to go on there except for us. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Lord, break every yoke. Filled with the glory of God, move every disorder. Grant it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, bless tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, stretch out your healing hand. Stretch out your blessings. My God, in Jesus' name, let that wonderful world appear. Let that wonderful dimension of the Almighty God come forth. While you're moving, grant it in the name of Jesus to break the yokes, to
fill with the blessings of God. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name tonight. Lord, have your way. Knowing that we're getting closer to the crossing. Knowing that we're closer and closer to the crossing. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Hallelujah, knowing that we're closer to the crossing. Therefore, we call upon the name of our beloved Savior Jesus. Father, heal tonight. Deliver tonight. Bless tonight. Speak to our hearts and lives tonight. In Jesus' precious name. Father, stretch out your hand, Lord, to these children of God tonight. Stretch out your hand. May the wonderful love of God rest upon this sister. May the wonderful love of God come up into this heart. May she look beyond the veil. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Beyond the veil. For God, in that great world, in that great wonderful world, Lord, there's healing, there's salvation, there's prosperity, and there's peace. Lord, coming from that world. Lord, even the fountain in the house of David. Jesus' name tonight, bless. Father, bless the sister in Jesus' name tonight. Dear God, help us. Though, oh Lord, move the troubled waters. Move the troubled waters of our soul. Oh, Ramanda Ramashanda Ramanaya. Andriyanda Ramoshanda Riyataya. Uramanda Ramashanda Riyataramosanda Ramanaya. Hallelujah. I feel your presence. I feel your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grant your blessings, Father. Jesus' name. All of the paths of God are peace. Hallelujah. Yea, thou art like the troubled waters of the sea. Thy soul cannot find rest because thou hast taken the wrong path. Thou hast gone the way of thine own desire. Thou hast not walked after my way. Yea, as in years gone by when you desired me, and I walked by your side, and I was your helper, and I was your stay, I was your staff. Yea, and thou sought me, and thou carest for me, and I cared for thee. Now thou art troubled, and greatly troubled, because thou hast not listened even to the words of the Lord. But there is a peace, there is a path, there is a way that you can take. If you'll follow me, I shall minister to thy soul. Yea, and I shall restore thy soul. Thou shalt again see glad days, good days, times of refreshing. Yea, they shall come from the Lord. And thou shalt be happy, and thou shalt blossom as a tree. Yea, and thou shalt be full of the fruits of life, and full of the fruits of the Spirit. Ye shall rejoice. Yea, ye shall rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. Jesus, in your wonderful name tonight. Father, according to your wonderful word and your wonderful blessings, as we look away to that spirit world, to that world beyond the veil, that world where angels dwell, and that world where angels abide. Father of heaven, how great and mighty thou art. Even as the songwriter said, Father, how great thou art. Father, you said that he that goeth forth in tears and soweth in tears, Father, he shall doubtless come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And oh God, may we sow, Lord, in tears. May we sow in tears. May our eyes run down as rivers of waters. Lord, that we may sow, that we may be a reaper in your vineyard. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless my sister. Let there come a refreshing from God. Let there come a confidence from heaven. People's souls need to be fed, my Father. People's souls need the water of life. And Father, I feel faith tonight, and I feel repentance tonight. And I feel concerned tonight. And may it be so that these souls will be blessed. Let them be blessed. In Jesus' name tonight, my Father, let them be blessed. Dear God, bless this mother. Bless the little one. Touch him in Jesus' name. Dear God, let him realize tonight the greatness of your presence in what eternal life is like. And dear God, that though we gain the world and lose our soul, Father, that great, wonderful blessing, Lord God, should we lose it, that great, wonderful life that comes from our Heavenly Father, Lord, if we lose it, then we've lost everything. Bless this heart, bless this soul. Open up the wonderful avenues of life. Open up the stream from heaven. Let this sister look beyond the veil and let her see the spirit world and that wonderful, wonderful blessing in the world of angels. Lord, in that wonderful, quickening world that brings life eternal. Bless tonight in Jesus' name, my Father. Do something tonight. May there be a blessing. May there be a blessing. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Hallelujah. May there be a blessing to look beyond the veil. Uramanda Ramashanda Ramanaya. Move in Jesus' name. May it be beyond the veil. Let the veil be rent tonight, my Father. Let it be rent tonight in Jesus' name. Rend the veil, my Father. Rend the veil. Oramanda Ramanaya. Knowing, Father, that we're going forth, Father, to bring the end of the world. Let us believe. Let us believe. Father, knowing that the saints will bring the end of the world. Oh, God, let us believe. Tonight, help us to look beyond the veil, trusting in Thee, my Father. Trusting in Your righteousness. Trusting in Your grace. Trusting in Your strength. Father, hear us tonight. Oh, God. Hear us tonight. God of heaven and God of the earth. Oh God, hear us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Bring strength. Bring greatness. I look away. Oh, Ramanda Ramanaya. Andriya Sharama Ramas. Andriya Tandramosai. Uandriyanda Ramanaya. Andriya Raboshai. Oh, hallelujah. Yea, I have not forgotten thee. I remember thee. Though thou hast felt that the Lord has forgotten thee, I have not forgotten thee. But my people have forgotten me days without number. Yea, and if thou shalt draw nigh unto me, I shall draw nigh unto thee. Yea, and I shall quicken thee with my spirit, and I shall anoint thee with my anointing. Yea, I have a work for thee to do. And if thou shalt hear me, thou shalt humble thine heart, then thou shalt draw nigh unto me, and thou shalt not be despised nor rejected. But I shall make thee to be as a voice in the land, even a testimony for the greatness of God, even the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And thou shalt find the desire of thine heart. I will restore thy soul. Yea, though thou shouldest walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou shalt fear no evil, for I shall be with thee. Yea, and I shall comfort thee. And that which thou hast not believed, thou shalt believe. Yea, and that which thou hast not seen, thou shalt see. For I, the Lord, have spoken it unto thee. O God, tonight, I ask you to bless in the name of Jesus. Touch the brother in the name of Jesus tonight. May every yoke be broken. May the brother look away to heaven. Lord, may he call upon the name of that Holy One. And Father, may he be spiritual. May he realize that there is nothing in the human flesh but corruption. And Lord, someday the body will rot and deteriorate and lay in the dust. And then the soul shall depart to take its long journey down the dark corridors toward that city. Doramanda Ramanaira. Mandriya Shandriya Taramanaya.
Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Help him to see and to believe, to trust in Jesus' name, Father. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Let's sing a song together. Let's lift our hands up. I'm going to pray for all of you together here. And I'm going to ask God to touch you tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord. God bless you. I love every one of you. And I felt a real repentance. And I felt faith in your heart. And I know that you're altogether different from the thing that I felt earlier in the service tonight. And while we're praying, I want you to lift your hands up with me. This is a great moment. A great thing is about to be done in this trip that we're making. Not because I'm great, but because He's great. I'm nothing. But you are a great people in God. You can't realize tonight what a human being is in God. A person that is in God, you can't realize how great and mighty a human being is. There's no way that I can express it. But unless you walk with Him, unless you abide in Him, then we're as the winter chaff that's blown away. So tonight, with your hands lifted up, let's pray together. Father, Lord, God of heaven, as I ask of Thee the wonderful forgiveness of sins for me and my people, dear God, look down from heaven. You're my Savior. You're my prize. You're my God. You're my everything. And oh, Ramandra, my Shandra, Basandra, Taya. Oh, dear God, as I look away to that city and I see the wonderful way of life that God has given, Father, grant eternal life to my people tonight, to me, to my loved ones. Father, grant eternal life to the people. Let the great, wonderful God of heaven come down and let the veil fall from our eyes. Let the scales fall away, Father. Oh, Lord, and let the light of Jesus Christ be our guide, be our friend and our Savior. Bless us tonight. Jesus, bless these people. Father, heal these people. As I wave my hand over them tonight, oh God, heal. Heal, Lord. Father, heal. I feel you healing because I feel faith. Lord God, as I move my hands over these people tonight, I want you to heal. I want you to heal. Dear God, if there's cancer in the audience, Father, I want you to heal cancer. And I want you to take it away, Father. Lord, if there's any disturbance, if there's any disease, I want the germ to die. I want my people to be healthy. I want them to be strong. I want them to be blessed. I want them to be whole. Oh God, tonight, if there's lacking of spiritual strength and desire, I move my hands over them that you might move your hand over them, that you might heal and save. Dear God, break every yoke tonight. Fill these people with your glory. Fill these people with your blessings. Fill these people with your love. Heal, save, forgive, supply their needs tonight. I want you to do it in the wonderful name of your Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to do it, Father. I want you to sing this chorus with me tonight as we sing. Give me another key, Brother Taylor. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Can you sing it with me? There's a stream that's flowing and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, there's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. Oh, without Him, I can do nothing. Oh, without Him, I would but fail. And without Him, friend, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Won't you hear him today? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Without him, how lost I would be. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you. Can you sing it with me now? To help me with the trials I go through, though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Sing it one more time. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something has happened, and now I know Jesus touched me, and he made me whole. Now I want you to lift your hands with me. I don't want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to forget me now. Don't forget. Betty and I will be traveling over the waters. We'll be going out to do something for the Lord Jesus. And I won't be seeing you for a few days. But I'll be back again. Like the song we wrote, I'll be back again. We'll be back. We'll be back with the praises of God and singing the glory of God. Looking to the Lord, trusting him to keep us safe. He will keep us safe. Trusting him to keep you safe. For all of you are beloved in the Lord. He loves you. He cares for you. And I want to find all of you healthy and well when I come back. Seeking the Lord. Loving the Lord. Being strengthened in the Lord. And all my little folks, I want to find them healthy and well. Full of the ego of life just for Jesus. You keep them safe. You watch after them. You watch and you pray. Always watch your little ones. Know where your little ones are at, Mother. Whatever you do, Mother, check up on your little ones. Don't let them run around like they're doing. Whatever you do, check up on them. Watch after them. Find them. Know what they're doing. Know where they're at. A wise man looketh well to his going. His treasures are precious in his sight. Whatever you do, you watch them. They're very wonderful. They're darling little treasures that you'll never know how precious and valuable they are until one of them's taken out of your hands. Whatever you do, you hold fast to them. And you pray for me and pray for mine. Pray for me and my children. I'm praying for you and your children. You pray that God will help us and God will bless us. I'll pray that God will meet your needs. And I believe he will. I really believe he will. I believe he will. Now lift your hands up with me. Will you do that? Lift your hands up with me tonight. Okay. As we go our way, we'll go our way. I want you to remember us now. God is graciously, let me testify while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed. I said that God will supply my needs. God cannot fail. I have a contract with Him. And it's stained by the blood of His darling Son. And it can't fail. And He'll keep every jot and tittle of it. And He's done it again with great triumph and victory. We leave for India through faith in God. God having supplied our needs abundantly. And my God, as Paul said, shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. You can rest assured that He will do it. He will do it. He will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. So then tonight, while you're standing here praying, I'm going to ask Brother Ted Clark to come up here tonight and to pray with you with this closing prayer. As Ted comes tonight, I want you to lift your heart and your eyes and hands, your eyes of understanding and your hands. I want you to lift them toward heaven tonight. And I want you to accept the blessings of God. I want you to accept the blessings of God. Beloved friend, I want you to accept the blessings of God. Accept it. You say, how can I do that, Brother Pike? I've accepted it. In your heart, by faith, tell yourself this in the name of Jesus. Father, before the living God, I'm going to be honest and straight with my fellow man and with God and do my best to keep my conscience right. And I'm going to try hard, Father. Give me strength. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to believe that You love me. And I'm going to believe that Your blood was shed for me. And I'm going to believe that You're going to bless me and mine. I'm going to believe, Father. I'm going to accept it, Father. I'm going to stand on Your promise. I'm going to believe with all of my heart that You are going to bless me. Can you do that? Can you do that? As our Brother Ted comes tonight, I feel the mighty anointing of God right now. I feel it right now. I feel it. I feel faith in the audience. I actually feel faith in the audience. I feel it. I feel it going through my body. I feel that electrifying move of God. Don't you feel it? It's an electrifying feeling. It's a verbal inspiration. It's a quickening of the mortal body. I feel it. It's here in the audience. It's here with you. It's here with me tonight. Something great is taking place. Saints of God, it's getting closer and closer. Even the manifestation of that great inner Christ, it's getting closer and closer. Do something. Accept those blessings tonight. Accept those blessings. It's our brother Christ.